This episode is sponsored by WeHaveMerch.com. WeHaveMerch.com. Prices starting at only $12.99. Sizes up to 6XL. 17 different shirt designs. Buy two shirts and get a bigger discount. Anybody that buys three shirts gets a 10-minute guest spot on Cool Kids Countdown. Buy one now. This episode is also sponsored by the following. The Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. This month, by just retweeting an episode, you will be entered to win a month's supply of SpunkLube, an all-in Shootin' the Shiznit shirt, and an all-in poster.
Have you listened to last week's episode, the week before, or all the episodes? By the way, all of them are at www.stspod.club and all of the fine podcast players. Now on with the show.
Got me, beat me down, beat me down. Do you think you're on top? Well, I'm not where you left me. I've been picking up steam and I pick myself up. I'm stronger this time.
All right, guys, we're live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, and I have as my co-host today. He's not going to be my co-host, but he's also going to be my guest as we talk about the all-in weekend. So fine, Lance Levine. Where are you at today?
I'm back in Chicago at the Hormel Pickled Pig's Feet Studios, of course, you know. So gotta represent Hormel. I think they're in Chicago, but anyway. So yeah, recapping the entire all-in / StarCast weekend, brother. Boy, 96 hours of mayhem.
Oh, just crazy, 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 guys. I know you've seen it on Twitter. You've seen other people talking about it. We want to get this episode out because me and Lance, we figured as of October of this year, it would have been 30 years since we actually seen each other in person. And Lance is just as handsome as he always was. So,
of course.
And I do appreciate it. We had a fantastic time. The wife and I arrived on Thursday. We went to Manny's Deli. Had a great time and ate some turkey meatloaf there.
And we had the deep dish pizza that night, Giordano Chicago deep dish pizza. So
very, very good. I brought a slice home. You're not believing it. It's in the freezer. So when I get to thinking about you, I'll eat that pizza. And then we also had talking of food, we did have Chicago hot dogs that right before All In and had a fantastic time overall. Lance, you got a whole list. He was running around taking notes the whole weekend, and as everyone probably would think about myself, I wasn't taking notes. So no. I made two or three, and that was it. So
I'm the Dana Brooke of this group. I am the statistician, so minus the D cups. Anyway, so the first thing I got jotted down is how the StarCast basically, man, they took over the entire Hyatt Regency Hotel. I mean, there were tents outside. There was a downstairs section. There were ballrooms for some of the panels and so on. There was tables up and down the lobbies. All I could think that first day was, man, this poor staff in this hotel with all these guys with black shirts and increasingly bad body odor going throughout the whole weekend.
Oh, God.
So it was an amazing setup. They had, like I said, tables with wrestlers and wrestling personalities all around the entire complex. What it reminded me of hanging out with you. And John came, my buddy here locally, John Henriksen, came on Saturday. Margaret, another friend of mine from here, came. And a handful of other, like, cool kids and listeners and stuff were there. But we only ran into a couple of them. But it was like a mini version of, like, Memphis and Chicago and the different conventions, Tampa, that we did back in the day. So it was kind of like a mini version of that. Hopefully we do that again in the future. So that was the first thing, is the setup was just amazing, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when he says mini version, there was just us compared to there's, you know, seven or eight people with us last time. And this was just the whole hotel. When I walked in, First, I want to put over some stuff, okay? So I've been to Wizard World, and I'll probably say some stuff about Wizard World again and how the con was run, blah, blah, blah. Very similar to that, if you've ever been to Wizard World where you see guests and they have, you know, rooms that you go in so that you can see panels. That's very, very similar to what we did. But when you walk in, you know, you always got to get the bracelet and you always got to stand in line. Mm-hmm. I thought that was handled so good, Lance. I mean, we were in the building from the time we arrived to the end of the building in less than 5 minutes. It was just checking my ID to make sure I was who I said, and then scanned both of my tickets. We got the bracelets, and we were in through the door. Through the door, you went in this huge lobby that just had, like you said, just which was so funny throughout the weekend because I wore black and white the whole weekend, a sea of black and white t-shirts. And then the first thing we seen was Kevin Kelly was there, and it was really awesome what he was actually doing.
Yeah, he was doing you could sit in and do play-by-play with him on a New Japan match from, I think it was Dominion. I don't know. They might have changed the matches throughout. But, yeah, that was another cool opportunity. Just a ton of opportunities. Like you said, logistically, I know we heard that some people were complaining here and there, but – like, I agree. Logistically, for this being the first time they did this thing, it was amazingly well pulled off. The lines to get into the panels and stuff were pretty well organized. By the end of the time, 4 days, it was smooth as silk, you know. And as far as that bracelet goes, we had bought the silver bracelets. There was, like, let's see, what was it? Platinum, gold, silver, and then I think like a general admission. So we spent $60 for the silver ones, which got us access to essentially everything except for the meet and greets you had to pay for. For $60 for 4 full days, that is not there is no better value. I thought that was amazing. You know, the fact that we got to sit in on everything that went on that we wanted to for $60 for 4 days. It was great. I thought
that's
was really
crazy.
Well done.
I can't. Yeah, that when we I've got Gene hopefully coming on also this week. We're doing another special edition just about all in. Hopefully we line everything up, because one of the funny things and when Gene listens to this, he'll get a kick out of it, is that we couldn't find Gene.
Right.
I mean, it was like, where's Gene kind of thing. But he was in the he was actually in line for meet and greets the whole time while me and you did something totally different than he did. So that's the reason I want to bring him on to talk about his experience. But, yeah, he may have a different opinion about how much he spent compared to what we spent and what he got for it. So I want you guys to hear that. But us – I mean, $60, and I got to sit in anything I wanted to sit in. I wasn't turned away on any of them, and I really thought maybe we would have more people in them, and as we talk today, I'll talk about that. But none of them we couldn't get into. Now, there was one at the very end of day three that I didn't stay, or day two. I think it's day two. It was I didn't stay for the weigh-in because it was such a long line, but you did, and you got in. So, couldn't get in.
Yeah, that was packed. I mean, we'll come up on that because most of my notes are pretty chronological, so we'll come up on that. The one thing also I wanted to add about the bracelets was the bracelets led to the line of the weekend was when you said, I thought of you in the shower, because I had said earlier, like, well, what the hell? Once this bracelet is on me, I got to wear it all 4 days. So am I going to shower with this damn thing on? And you took that to mean, you know, you got in the shower the next day and you're like, I thought of you in the shower. I'm like, those are some scary fucking words. So I don't want to ever hear you say that again. So,
well, it didn't happen this morning. Okay.
In light of the bracelet, I understand, but that's it. So anyway, so the first summit that we sat in on, the first panel, was the Meltzer and Keller with, it was Bruce Mitchell and Brian Alvarez summit. So that was the four of them just basically talking the business, talking the wrestling journalism for what they go
no,
about.
Wait,
90
wait,
minutes
wait.
Or
we
so?
went to Pritchard and Bischoff the night before.
Was that the night before? I thought that was after.
Yes. No, that was the night before. Yeah.
All right. So then we'll go backwards. So Pritchard and Bischoff, you know, and I have to admit, two of not my favorite guys in the world, but I was thoroughly entertained by it. They were in a tent outside, and that was packed. That was full. I don't know how many hundred, maybe, I don't know. What do you think? 200 seats in there? Maybe three? Not even.
I was a real, you know, I'm hard. Yeah. I'd say 300, but that was completely packed.
Yeah, it was packed, and I thought it was fine. It was a good, like, I don't know, 45 minutes. They were engaging, and then they started with the fuck Dave Meltzer shit, and that's when they started losing me, because it's all such a dumb act. But I will admit, the first 45 minutes or so, when they were just basically talking about WCW versus WWE back in the day, I thought it was entertaining. So I did enjoy that, and I appreciate you dragging me into that one, because for the most part, it was good.
It was very good. It was fun. Here's the thing. The thing that I noticed is that everything that they were saying was already something I'd heard, because I do listen to Bruce every once in a while on the Eric show. So it wasn't like a lot of new stuff. The stuff with Meltzer, we talked about this before, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things, and actually spent some time talking about it at the pizza place, is that part of that is that they just did not understand. There was so many people talking to Dave and all the kayfabe guys that mm-hmm. they just didn't realize that. And they also, each one of those guys were in different positions in the sense that they were there, but they seen it a total different way. It was like a manager sees, and you know this, being a manager and an employee before, mm-hmm. that you see a business in a total different light. And that's what's happened with those guys. And those guys would never – a bad thing is that you got a guy like Meltzer who calls it – and Eric and Bruce both say, yeah, he was completely right there. But they have the wrestling mentality of those days when Dave really wasn't supposed to be reporting anything. Mm-hmm. So it was like, fuck Dave. It was always fuck Dave. But yeah. It was really – and something I want to – right now I'm going to make note of, because I don't – so I will not forget to say it. Me and you talked about this. We went to panels the whole time, and there was two of them that was really – just pretty much sold out, and Bruce was a huge draw, and it was Bruce Pritchard. Wasn't Eric Bischoff, because I went to another one with Eric Bischoff, so it was really more Bruce, and then, you know, the Young Bucks in a weigh-in was totally sold out, but Bruce is a big part of what was going on here.
Yeah, it amazed me that, like you said, percentage-wise, that was the one thing that we attended that was totally full. So that was Thursday night. So then I guess that takes us to Friday morning, which was the Meltzer-Keller Summit, which I thought was great. And I know you made a point of, when we were sitting in on that room was about half full. So that's just an interesting perspective, because it was in the same exact room as the Pritchard thing.
Yeah.
And it was about half full. So that, I mean, it'll tell you the you know, I guess – what those people that were at that convention at that weekend were looking for, you know, which was disappointing on the one hand, but it was a good crowd and they asked intelligent questions for the most part. Of course, you know, I was saying I could listen to those guys talk about the business for hours. You know, I could have sat for hours. So, and I mean, plus on Friday morning, by that point, there was a bunch of other simultaneous things going on too. On Thursday night, I don't know that there was much else going on. So that could have played a role. Who knows?
Yeah, there was. At the time, they had the Tony Schiavone, you know, What Happened When, Monday Live, which had, you know, some guests on mm-hmm. there. Conrad was on that one. So that was started at 12 to 1:30, and we started around 12:30 for the Four-Star Summit. There's something in that summit that Bruce Mitchell actually said, and he asked Marco Stunt was his the example of this, and that's the person I was thinking of when he was talking about it. But how stars can be made really, really mm-hmm. quick now, and it's the idea that he made two huge appearances at indie shows, and then got on the biggest indie show ever, and it was because everybody was retweeting. He got a bunch of followers, and it's a total different way in the business how stars are made. And it mm-hmm. was Keller and everyone was real, real good. And we got to see Dave again, which I thought was hilarious. Dave gave us both a big hug, and also got to talk to Mitchell and Keller before, I think, the Four-Star mm-hmm. Summit. But all those guys are the same as it was when we, egos, no nuts.
Except Keller is like 7 feet tall. That I wasn't Keller, it still seems like a kid compared to the rest of us, but he's, you know, I think he's only about 10 years younger than us, but I don't know. That dude should have been in the NBA or something. So, Meltzer was wearing a cool, wasn't the Bruiser Brody shirt, right? And then when
he
went
up
with him with that shirt, people kept responding like, hey, where can I get that shirt? I thought that was kind of funny. So, I called it the 7-Star Summit. I think you're in the past when you said 4-Star Summit.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I was trapped for food. That was one thing thing I will say, they didn't have enough food there. So the one afternoon I went out and actually ate at ODB's food truck out in front. And the ironic thing there was that Medusa was actually on the truck preparing food with her. So I got my nachos and my pulled pork from Medusa. The other thing, and it was good, I got to say, it was about maybe an AEIO on my scale of food. But it was good. I got to give ODB credit. She worked her ass off and served some good food. B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, was one of the sponsors of the show and yet had no food presence on the damn premises. So that was a minor complaint I have about the entire weekend. It was a very limited amount of food there. So you either had to leave the property to go get food or you had to eat at ODB's, which I thought was kind of all right.
And you had it, yeah. And, you know, we've been to, me and the wife had been to Wizard World a couple of times, and we have this thing that, you know, I always carry my backpack around. So we had sandwiches made, and you said, yeah, man, I'm going to get nachos. And then when you left, she said, man, I should have fixed him a sandwich. And I said, he really wasn't expecting us to fix him a sandwich.
No, I was perfectly fine eating ODB's food truck, but I wouldn't have wanted it every day because the lines were really long. And I mean, the food was good and it was reasonably priced, but I just wanted some variety. So anyway, the next thing I got jotted down is that we met most of the podcasts that we reviewed on last week's show. That creepy Kelsey and Paul situation was kind of weird. That was, what was it? Two-Faced Wrestling. And we theorized that they looked enough alike that he could be her dad or maybe older, creepy older brother. But anyway, that was kind of weird. Court of Nerds, which was the show that I really liked. Those guys were cool and they were appreciative that we gave them a good review. And then we met Going in Raw, which is the one I said didn't really make sense. The name based to the content. And that was the one where you threw me under the bus.
Yeah, I did.
So where I said the content didn't fit the name. And they acknowledged to me that that's true. And they said back in the day when they first started and they came up with that name, they were a lot more risque and a lot more explicit, but then they started getting sponsors and they had to change up their game. So I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I did throw you under the bus, but they were really good with it. And then we showed them who one of our sponsors, Spunk Lube, and they cracked up about it. I gave them a business card. Good sports. We hit what it was they did actually. Some of the stuff was a little, I don't know. I don't want to say disorganized, but the idea that there were so many tables that you could barely walk in one section. But this was called Podcast Row, and it was all our podcasts we walked and talked to and give business cards to them. Then you went down downstairs into this room, a huge room that had tons of vendors in it. Mm-hmm. We see Brennan Martin, who was on here just a few weeks ago. He was selling this book. He was like the first person that
he was at the first table.
And then we went around seeing people. I know you probably mentioned this somewhere, but I have to put this over. That fucking Billy Gunn, guys. God.
What a giant. That guy's huge.
There's everyone in the business is there, guys. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, you name it. There's tons of guys above Bagwell's, you know. I mean, just tons of girls, tons of people sitting their tables. Billy Gunn is like tons bigger than everybody else. He's just huge. I went into the restroom and he's at the urinal pissing, and I just turned right around. I said, there's no way I'm pissing in the bathroom with Billy Gunn. His arms were just, one of the comments you said while we were setting that all in, we were still talking about Billy Gunn, and because he was head face to face, not really, with Brian Cage, almost face to chest. Mm-hmm. And you said his arms are bigger than my legs.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up.
It's true. It's true. That guy is deceptively huge. Deceptively huge. So in that same room that you're talking about, since we're in the vendor room downstairs, they had a bunch of the wrestlers in there. And at one point over the weekend, I ran into Rosemary, who I've seen at many shows before.
Right.
And we chatted. We caught up. And the funny story that I can tell there is that her new – and I always – it's like tradition now. I buy a shirt from her every time I see her because, you know, I got to support my people. So she had this really cool shirt with these Japanese characters on it. It was a cool shirt with like a Japanese wording. And then at the bottom of the shirt, it's got the Japanese stuff. Then at the bottom, it's got an American or an English phrase. And I said, hey, what does that say on there? Can you tell me what that says? And she says, nature evolves. I'm like, no, I can read that. You know, I'm talking about the Japanese characters. So it was one of those things, you just had to be there because the way she deadpanned it was so funny. So anyway,
all right,
the next panel.
Hey, we got to take our quick commercial.
Okay.
And then we're going to be right back.
This episode is sponsored by WeHaveMerch.com. WeHaveMerch.com. Prices starting at only $12.99. Sizes up to 6XL. 17 different shirt designs. Buy two shirts and get a bigger discount. Anybody that buys three shirts gets a 10-minute guest spot on Cool Kids Countdown. Buy one now. This episode is also sponsored by the following. The Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. This month, by just retweeting an episode, you will be entered to win a month's supply of SpunkLube, an all-in Shooting the Shiznit shirt, and an all-in poster.
All right, we're back from the commercial. I want to tell you how fucking tired I still am. We're recording this Monday afternoon. Guys, as you know, I lost almost 30 pounds just to do this, and Lance was nice enough to tell me it didn't seem like I was that much more behind him. I could really tell it in the mornings. I could tell I'm over 50 years old, and Lance can't even tell he's over 20. Man, the knees and everything just sore and tired. But I hit Walmart this morning and said, "Hey, I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to keep doing the exercise." So I had a great time, but I am beat. And we were talking about the vendor room and everyone. Go ahead and tell us the Oscar story. We got to tell that one.
Oh, the Oscar story. That's right. So, they had a bunch of people from various eras of wrestling. And so we're walking around looking at these names on the tables and stuff. And we recognize most people. Magnum TA was somebody that most people didn't recognize. But so there's a heavy set black dude sitting at one of the tables, and we get a closer look. And it turns out it's Oscar from Men in a Mission. And nobody is at this guy's table. I felt bad for him because he was sitting there so lonely, like slouched on a chair. And he's not a small dude. So slouched on a chair, just like with his arms like on the table because he's got nothing else to do and nobody's approaching him. So at one point over the weekend, I said, I mentioned like, oh, shit, we're closing in on Oscar's table again. And I said softly because I speak with a normal inside voice, unlike my co-host here. And I said, let's make sure we don't go over there by Oscar. And so you go, Oscar? And he hears you, and he draws you over to him. He's like, yeah, brother, what's going on? And you got stuck talking to Oscar for like 2 minutes. So,
thank God I had an end because I know Mo from Men on a Mission. So I didn't embarrass myself. But, they learned real quick, you and John did, that if I say something, y'all could probably be standing across the room and hear me. And it's not that I talk loud. It just – my voice has always been good, one that carried a lot. You was talking about eating. You know, you actually – you jumped up I got you to come in this one, and me and Misty started eating, but it was the total nonstop one with Jarrett.
Yeah.
And we walked in that panel, and it was what we seen of it was we didn't get to see it all because we had just walked in from the other. But it was real interesting, too, and had Don West was just freaking crazy, so.
That was a good one. And like you said, we just kind of drifted into it because we had left another one and we just saw that door open and there were plenty of seats available and we sat down for it. And it was actually pretty good. I mean, I've been a TNA fan for years. So even when it wasn't the cool thing to be a TNA fan. So I thought that was fun to watch. The one story that I took away from that was the Maxim story, which I don't know if you remember that, but they were talking about this exclusive deal that they had a couple years ago with Maxim, where they were going to have the cover of Maxim magazine. They were going to get the Knockouts. They did the photo shoot for the Knockouts, like the Velvet Skies and the Gail Kims of the world were going to be in Maxim. And it was going to be great, quote unquote, exposure for TNA to get the Maxim gig. And it got scrapped because Dixie Carter, of all people, insisted on having the cover of Maxim magazine. When you've got people like Velvet Sky that could have had that cover and could have sold a billion magazines, Dixie Carter insisting that she got the cover, and that just blew my mind. And they, I mean, a handful of them told that story and acknowledged that it was true, you know, and agreed on it. So they have no reason to doubt it. So it just was a bizarre story that that actually happened, that they lost that opportunity with Maxim because of her wanting the cover, and they were saying, and Maxim said no.
And Karen Jarrett was there, and you could tell there was legit heat between her and Dixie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Jeff was real good. No one really mentioned Dixie's name but Jeff, but he didn't say anything, really bad about her. He was just telling the truth about stuff. And then, you know, after that, they sold a bunch of stuff, which was hilarious. They were selling everything that was up on the stage, everything from guitars to posters and you name it. I did get my picture taken with Jarrett at that time. I'd already cornered him once and said, "Hey, it's Brian." And then during the thing with Meltzer, he told Meltzer to watch out for Trammell. Then he said, "Meltzer, you know he was your USWA source." So everybody knew I was the one that was the snitch in the USWA dressing room. I guess.
But I don't think he was talking about you though, because he said Trammell. You're Trammell, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh yeah, that's
so. He probably was referring to somebody else altogether.
I don't even know how to say my fucking name.
So after the TNA thing wrapped up, we had a little bit of time, and then came one of the highlights for me that I was looking forward to was the Bruiser Brody documentary that we're going to get the world premiere of the Vice show. They're doing that series on like the Dark Side of Wrestling or whatever it's called. That's going to debut next year on Vice. So we got to see the
Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah.
So it was about a 45-minute, because it's a 60-minute TV episode with commercials. So it was about a 45-minute documentary on Brody, and it was just spellbinding. It really was. Dutch Mantel was in it. Abdullah the Butcher was in it. Tony Atlas was in it. Tony Atlas, I would have liked it if they would have had subtitles for his parts, because some of that shit was hard to understand. Even harder than Abdullah, and they did have subtitles on some of his stuff. There was a little bit of friction and disagreement between Abdullah and Tony Atlas's versions of the story of what happened that evening when Brody was murdered. But just great stuff. I felt like there was about a 10-minute stretch where I didn't exhale because I was so consumed by the whole thing, and it was just so well done. I really enjoyed that. That was like the highlight.
It was very well done, and it's a story that, and we talked about this when we walked out, Wrestling Riot back in the day, the first interview ever done about the Brody murder was done with me and Bobby Jaggers, who was there with Dutch at the time, and he's the one that then, you know, excerpts from the interview went to the Meltzer and everyone else, but he was the first one to talk about it. And that was the story I had heard and have heard for years. Dutch had actually told me that everything he said in on screen there, he had told me before. And it was just, I don't know, it's just the things that happened and the idea that they never really did have a court case. But, you know, guys, I'm not going to – it's pretty much the same story that everyone knows. Yeah. We highly recommend this. This series sounds like it's – they're doing one on the Von Erichs.
Gino Hernandez.
Gino, which will be excellent. There's all kinds of stuff. And I'm not going to say, but there's a few things in this Brody documentary or show that's really never been mentioned before.
Right. Yeah, there was stuff, like you said, we're familiar with the story, but there was definitely a handful of things in there that we didn't know.
And then I left after that, that day after that, and you stayed for the all-in weigh-in.
Yeah. You were winded. So you were talking about sleep before. I, honest to God, I don't think I got much more than double-digit sleep for the whole 4 days, because I know last night I finally got some sleep last night because it wrapped up early. But, yeah, there was one of those nights when after the after party I got maybe 3 hours sleep that next day. So, yeah, it was intense. So, but it was worth it. So, anyway, yeah, the weigh-ins, which was another one of the things that I really was looking forward to. I think essentially everybody that was at StarCast was in that line to go to the weigh-ins. And thankfully they had that in the biggest room that they had, and there was not an available seat. I'd say that room, when it was fully opened up, easily a couple thousand seats, and that whole thing was filled up for the weigh-in. So it was fun. I mean, it wasn't like a traditional like UFC type weigh-in. There wasn't much weigh-ins going on. It was mostly just opportunities for the guys to do promos. The highlights for me was Brandy. Of course, there's a highlight that involves Brandy giving a $10,000 check to Paws, which is an animal shelter in Chicago, a dog and cat adoption place. So they gave one of those giant, you know, novelty checks for 10 grand to Paws, which I got to tell you, as a dog person, I honest to God, this grown ass man welled up a little bit on that one. There was a really good thing with they did an Adam Page Q&A with Plants that were in the audience. And I mean, it was, they had taken some other questions for other people. So it kind of came out of left field that these guys were obviously Plants because they had legitimate fans asking questions otherwise. And the Plant questions for Paige kept asking about the murder of Joey Ryan. So it was funny because he kept getting more and more flustered throughout the whole thing. And then there were just some great promos. I've noted that Skrull, Joey Janela, and of course Kenny Omega were the highlights for me on that. But yeah, that was amazing because they had the crowd eating out of their hands, obviously, because they were there for these guys, you know, and that room being so packed. It was, imagine the electricity that you saw it all in a smaller room, you know, with maybe, I don't know, a couple thousand people at the most. So it was really, really well done, well put together, and very entertaining.
And I think it's, you could still watch it for free there on Fight TV. They, that, Fight TV app or Fight TV, you can watch it. Also, guys, I just want to make a note that if you didn't go and you hear us talking about all this, they have every one of the panels, every one of them, and all you got to do is pay $100. And so they're well worth it. No, they're well worth $100. So
the next panel that I have jotted down was the NWO one. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's right. Perfect.
Okay, so NWO panel was Hall, Nash, and Sean Waltman with his poor suffering dog. And I don't know, this dog was shaken, so I don't think this was an anxiety dog for him. I think maybe he's the anxiety person for that dog. So this dog was like petrified being up on the stage. So it was good. I've had some disagreement with other people. I thought Hall was the most entertaining guy out of these people, which was really surprising. I thought Hall was very articulate for what you think of Scott Hall. Told some good stories. I thought Nash was pretty good once he got talking. He was kind of quiet at first, but once he got talking, I thought he was okay. And honestly, Waltman was just kind of there to me. I didn't think Waltman was all that compelling. I thought the other two guys were much funnier. So my favorite part on this one, I don't know if you had a different part, but my favorite take was when this Scott Pruitt guy, who I'm sure you can go on about,
Neil Pruitt,
who was moderating this thing, asked Nash, what's the difference? This is how he phrased it. He said, what's the difference between working WWE and WCW? And Nash just looked at him and said, now? And it just got a great pop, and I thought it was hilarious, too. Like, there is no WCW, you doofus, you know. So, anyway, I just thought it was so funny the way Nash deadpanned it and said, now?
Well, you know, we talked about this guy last time in our podcast.
Yeah, we did.
And he was a producer during all this stuff, the NWO stuff. But you could tell it's like he was even rubbing those guys wrong. At one point, he said, Kevin Nash said, I never listened to you when you were my boss then. I'm not listening to your motherfucker now, or something like that. And
he was just really awkward. The other guys were entertaining for the most part, and he was just really awkward and just kind of out of place to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Hosting the thing.
Everybody felt that way. It wasn't just us, because the guys in front of us thought the same thing. You guys hit the floor after that with John, and I went trying to find where Keeping It 100 was going to be.
Right.
So
we could see JoJo.
Yeah, and then so I walk into the Death of the WCW panel, which I thought would have been a lot more people in it. It was the one with the author of Death of WCW with Artie Reynolds, Kevin Sullivan, and Eric Bischoff. It was really what I got to see, and the questions were really good from the crowd. I enjoyed it. Eric was giving RD a little bit more hell than he should have. By the end, there was kind of kissing and making up, but it was well done. It was really good. And then you guys, we got to go to about third row to set for Keeping It 100. I was disappointed. It still filled up a little bit, but there was a lot less people there than I thought there would be.
Yeah, again, the Pritchard thing was the top dog as far as these panels, as far as attendance goes. I loved Keeping It 100 was pretty much the same type of bashing each other type chemistry that they have on the show, which is, to me, it's really entertaining because you can't really tell. Is this fake? Are these guys really best buddies? Or is this how they communicate? They just snipe with each other. And it was just like that. It was that same bashing chemistry. So the one question I had, and I think you posed it, was why did Joe even have a microphone?
Yeah, I got to go up.
Had a microphone for some reason.
I tried to record it. I'm having some technical difficulties, but I did get to ask about JoJo, why he had a microphone. I was just giving him hell, really. But Disco was fantastic here.
Yeah, Disco was good, and so was Shane Helms was really good,
yeah,
too.
Disco just has a hell of a personality that didn't really – I guess he was, you know, he was a pretty big star, but it didn't feel that way until you see him in person. He just easy on the stage. Guys, he looks the same. Still a good-looking guy. You can see why he got the push that he did. He asked me about Spunk Lube, and it's actually on Fight TV. So if you watch that panel, you'll see me asking a question, and we get some advertisement for our sponsor, Spunk Lube. Dan, what do we got?
That was it for Saturday, and then was the card itself. So if we have time, we're going to come back to the card and cover a couple things there. Obviously, you can get card coverage or if you've watched it. So the rest of the stuff is stuff that you didn't attend because you, after the All In itself, the pay-per-view, you cut out the next morning. So I have the after party. I have the exclusive coverage of the after party. So this was after All In. Again, back in that huge room, and it was a separately ticketed event, and they had regular tickets for half the room and then VIP tickets for the other half of the room. So, and we didn't have tickets, and they had told us it was sold out. So we're like, well, we'll see if we can get in. You know, we know Joe might be there, and one of our other friends was going to be in there, so we figured, well, we might be able to schmooze our way in. So we went back, me and John and Margaret, our other friend in Chicago. So we go in. We didn't have too much success. Joe was sound asleep upstairs, ridiculously, as I found out afterwards. And so who do we run into in the lobby? And I haven't told you the story yet, but who do we run into? David Arquette, for Christ's sake, is in the lobby. And so we start talking very briefly to David Arquette. And at this point, we're standing right near where the entrance to the VIP is to get into the after party. So we had tried earlier to get in, and they said, oh, it's sold out. You need a ticket. So we were like, okay, well, whatever. So they see us, the guards that are manning the door, see us talking to David Arquette. And then we turn around, and we walk towards them, and we said, we're here for the VIP. And they said, okay, come on in. So literally, they just saw us talking to David Arquette. So the rub of David Arquette is what got us into not the regular room, the VIP. And it just so happened to be it was standing right in front of those guards when it happened. So, and it was funny because we go into the VIP. And then on the other side, for some stupid reason, the bar was in the regular side of the room. So we had to cross over to get to the regular side. And I kept saying, oh, I don't like the oxygen on this side of the room. There's a certain smell in this side of the room. I want to go back to VIP, but we wanted to get a drink. So we had to go over there. Downstate is a band that played there. And I don't know. I didn't know much about those guys. But those guys are the band that does the Miz theme song and the Cody Rhodes theme song, which I think is the best entrance in wrestling today. So they did those songs live for us, and it sounded so good. It was so good. I love that Cody song. I'll say the party was pretty well packed. It was mostly fans that had cleaned up their act a little bit. They were a little bit less smelly, and they changed out of their black and white t-shirts.
Hey, you know, you've made that comment twice, and people are going to think we're just being bitches.
There was some BO. I defy you.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was not BO by Sunday, my friend. So,
oh, it was horrible, guys. I mean, you know, we...
there was not a lot of BO, but it was there.
Yeah, you're walking around all the time. If you're not going back to your hotel, here's some advice. When you go back to your hotel room to spend a night, take a shower. Even if you're in the shower thinking about Lance, you are taking a shower.
Ladies. There was some of the talent was there. One thing that was noticeable was there was none of the talent from All In that actually wrestled. None of them were there whatsoever. The only guy that I saw show up later was Jay Lethal. But talent from StarCast, you know, the people that were already in town for that hadn't wrestled. I cannot report on any embarrassments. I did not see any projectile vomiting or any drunken behavior. So it was fun. It was a good time. It shut down at 1 o'clock. The hotel was shutting it down at 1. So it was good. Good that we got to schmooze with some more people. In fact, I talked to Conan and Disco and I asked, where's Joe? And they said, we have no idea. And then, like I said, I found out later, Joe fell asleep in the room. So a lot of fun you were, Joe. So then the next morning, after I got my 3 hours or so requisite sleep, the next morning was the first thing I walked into was Jim Ross doing his podcast. And fortunately, I got to walk in on him interviewing Rey Mysterio, which was great. And then Cody Rhodes was the next one. So that was just phenomenal timing that I walked in right as that was starting up. So that was great. The one thing I can say is there were some ridiculous questions. They had a gap in the middle between Rey and Cody, and they had some time to kill. And so they were doing Q&A with Jim Ross. And the question that stood out, some of these idiots that stood up, I swear to God, one of the idiots, now this is the day after All In. So we had just taken in this fantastic show that everybody's raving about. And this goof stands up and asks JR, what are your criticisms of last night? And I'm like, what kind of question is that? Can you not just enjoy what we were given? You know, just some really insane questions for Jim Ross. That one, what do you think of, did the main event feel rushed to you? I'm like, well, yeah, we knew it was rushed. What kind of idiot question is that, you know? So just some really ridiculous questions. But then he brought out Cody. That was cool. There was the other noticeable moment that I think I've talked about is that there was one point where Jim Ross and Cody were talking about Dusty. And Ross actually said, I got to take a minute, and started welling up because it was so emotional for him talking about Dusty. So, and Cody said, that's okay. I was crying all day yesterday myself. So I thought that was just a really cool moment to be able to hear and see live. So the next panel was the infamous Why It Ended panel, which is a great podcast. I'm not normally big on the trivia type stuff and the back in the day type podcast, but I really do enjoy that one. I think Matt Kuhn is great at leading that show. And Robbie E surprises me how engaging that guy is. So
I do very, enjoy very, it. Yeah. On
really
the podcast,
engaging. You never would have thought that, you know.
You did. I wasn't there, but I have got to, because of Fight TV, I've been able to watch some of that because I wanted to try to see you ask it a question. We went all weekend long. You didn't ask one question, and then when you did, it wasn't even a wrestling question. So
yeah, that's right. It was outside the box. So they had they taped with Glacier, who was a nice enough guy, but just kind of there. And then they bring out Buff Bagwell, and this was just a train wreck. Well, first off, they did this in one of the giant rooms, and you could tell this was already the fourth day by this point. Everybody was either hungover, tired, you know, so they had a really small turnout, which was disappointing. But, I mean, there was definitely some reasons for that. Everybody had just gone to the show. I'm sure a lot of people were already leaving town. So they bring out Buff. First off, he trips going up the stairs to get onto the stage. So he trips on the first step. And this is not it's like four steps, you know. Not a single person had tripped on it all week. You know, at the weigh-ins, there were dozens of people going up and down. Nobody trips. So I know from the start, Buff has got to be wasted. He gets up there, and what a mess this guy is. I mean, he's blood red. The guy is as red as can be. It's 3:00 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and he is toasted. He is just gone. So, and he starts swearing up a storm. And I mean, there was swearing on the broadcast on some of the other shows and stuff, but this guy is just off the rails. He started working blue and telling like some really dirty stories too. And there's parents with kids in the room, and you physically see the parents get up and leave with their kids because Buff is just completely off the charts. And then it ended. And did you watch it? And you watched the question.
My question was for Robbie,
about Amazing Race, because Robbie had done Amazing Race with Brooke when they were still together. And I love that show. And so I wanted to ask Robbie about that. So he talked about that, which was pretty cool. He gave some insight behind the scenes on that show. So any takeaways from the broadcast on that?
Well, Buff is Buff, and I noticed that it was almost, you know, they were cringing when it came to him, all the cussing he was doing and the stuff he was saying. Robbie, as you said, comes off really, he looks a lot
really
smaller.
Really
yeah,
good.
A lot smaller now than he was.
He does. Yeah, he does.
But he came off really well, real professional. Matt Kuhn has, that silky voice. He could talk your pants off, my pants off probably. But, you know, but I thought, you know, you could tell Buff was but the funny thing is, we didn't even tell this. We're going to tell this part of it. I met Buff the day before. Was it the day before?
Yeah.
Shook his hand. And he actually gave me his phone number and said, hey, you contact me. I'll be on your podcast. So hopefully in the future we're going to have Buff. And but what happened after the fact?
That's right. When the cameras went off. And hopefully you can get Buff's side of this, because this is hot news. Right after that was essentially about the last event for the whole weekend. So that was Sunday afternoon, probably about 4:30, when the whole StarCast was wrapping up. So I'm out in the lobby. I'm talking to some friends. I'm talking to Wade for a little while. and Wade goes to pick up Bruce to go to the airport and so on. And I'm by this point I'm alone. And so a couple of the wrestlers are leaving and I'm saying goodbye to some of the ones that I know. So who comes around the corner? Conrad himself, Conrad Thompson, who ran the whole damn thing and did an amazing job. He and I have never met. We've interchanged emails and texts and stuff here and there, but messages on Facebook and so on. We've never physically met. So I went up to him, introduced myself, told him, what great job, got a picture with him. I said, you must be exhausted. He said, yeah, but, got to keep going. His wedding is in October. He's like, yeah, that's the next big thing I got to work on. So anyway, so we're talking and engaging as polite as possible. And also Conrad, after he walks away from me, he's glad handing with some of the other fans and, really totally cool. Does not walk away from a single fan who wanted to say hi to him. So about 30 seconds later, after he walks away from me, here comes Buff Bagwell around another corner with his suitcase, like he's leaving too. And I hear Conrad yell at Buff Bagwell, I'll never book you again. And he's keeping it completely clean. There's no swearing or anything, but he's agitated. Conrad is agitated. He says to Buff, I'm never going to book you again. Get out of here. Go. And it's ugly. And here's Buff with his wife, who I think his wife's name is Sharon. And his wife has a suitcase. He has a suitcase. And they're heading out. And his wife is a good 30 feet behind Buff. And Buff says, Buff is like, fuck you. And Sharon, get the fuck up here. Let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, holy shit, what is going on here? And I mean, it was in a different light for me because, like I said, having just literally sat through this panel where Buff was obviously wasted, and then to see that. So I don't know what exactly he did. My hunch was that Conrad was pissed at the way he performed during that that panel, which was broadcast on live TV. So that was my hunch as to why Conrad was saying he's never going to book him again. I did hear a rumor, and this is a rumor, so I can't say it for fact, that Buff grabbed money that wasn't his off of a table, and that was spotted too. And I did have other people on Twitter confirm to me that who were there and saw that panel that, he was drunk. You're not imagining that. He was definitely wasted. So that is what I was privileged to see afterwards. So the Conrad and Buff having heated words after the whole thing was wrapping up. And I'll tell you what, Conrad wields a little bit of power in this business right now. He's a hot guy in terms of putting things together. He's certainly going to be much in demand after this. And so for him to say, I'll never book you again, Buff may have really cost himself some money there, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Buff's been booked ever since he left. So but him not being at one of these probably won't bother him, But it's true. Conrad could be giving him extra money just to piss off somebody like that. It'll be interesting. If we can get him on the podcast, it will be.
You're inside of it. I mean, that's what I saw. I mean, I know what I saw. Like I said, my speculation is that it was because of his performance, literally 30 minutes ago at that panel. So I don't know about what the cause of it was initially, but I mean, the fact that I saw the heated argument going on was great. So right place at the right time for that one for sure. And then the final memory I have of StarCast is, again, I'm standing in that same corridor. Who comes walking past me to leave the building? Brandi Rhodes. And I'm like, holy shit, I am gonna turn into fucking jello because Brandi is passing me literally a foot away from me. So Brandi with her suitcase with Pharaoh and Cody, and as she's coming towards me, I just stop her briefly and I said, hey, I just wanted to tell you did a fantastic job with all the bumps and everything last night at All In. She looked me in the eye, which just about melted me, and said thank you so much. Took her dog and walked out the door. And that was how I remember StarCast. That's my final memory of StarCast weekend. So just an amazing 4 days.
Real quick, we're really out of time. But Lance, just real quick, we both thoroughly enjoyed ourselves at All In. We had seats were maybe three from the top, but we was able to see the show, big video screen. The show was different than I really expected. I made a comment right before Penta and Omega. We both said that, it was right. At that point, it was about thumbs in the middle. I really expected it to be more balls to the wall, kind of thing. It was actually wrestling. It's not as much. There was more wrestling than I expected, and then there was things on it. I've heard so much criticism, and then some people absolutely loved it about the dicks coming out. I didn't know what to think when I seen it. I don't watch Being the Elite, but it apparently it was one of those storylines that, you know, the WWE has a hard time completing the storyline of what mm-hmm. it's about, and that they had the full, you know, the start, the middle, and the end. But overall, at that point, it was thumbs in the middle. It wasn't a horrible show. It wasn't something that, you know, but. And you, me and you mentioned this. It was the electricity yeah. of the – when it started, I mean, I legitimately got goosebumps. I mean, it was like we were there and we were seeing something very special. Felt that way during the NWA title match. That was one mm-hmm. of those matches that we felt like there was a lot of smoke and mirrors, and mm-hmm. there shouldn't have been or couldn't have been. You should have not put as much in there as they did, mm-hmm. But it did make the title feel really special. And then the last three matches were just off the charts. Me and you, maybe a quarter difference in any of the ratings we have. It's pretty much the same. But when you was there live, especially for those last three matches, guys,
yeah.
that crowd was just – there is just yep. nothing like it. Nothing yeah. like it at all.
It was magical. I mean, it was definitely a moment in time. The card, like you said, the first half of the card was okay. Certainly not bad. There was nothing in there that was brutal or anything. The memorable things were the second half of the show, the Joey Ryan escapades after the Paige and Janela street fight, which I loved that street fight. I thought that was great.
That was a great match. Yeah.
Omega and Penta was fantastic. Obviously, the Chris Jericho run-in, which nobody had any idea that could happen because he was supposedly in Kansas City doing a Fozzy concert that night, which he ended up still doing after the card. Okada and Skrull was my pick of the night. I had it at 4.25. The story goes that they went 10 minutes long because they were having so much fun, and that's what fucked over the main event. And the main event only went about 12 minutes or so because the Okada match went so long. And then you left after the main event. You left, but then they stayed in the ring for a good 10 minutes celebrating, thanking the fans. They had all the main players there. And it was just a really special moment because with the exception of you who left, nobody else left, and everybody, all the fans were on their feet. And it was just a magical thing where they were truly appreciative of the millions of dollars they made on that weekend. But aside from that, appreciative of the moment. And it was just a really special moment to be there for it. It was outstanding. It was just a really good presentation, and more power to them for pulling it off for the very first time.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I left because I had someone waiting on me, and there was a lot of people leaving right when it was over, so they missed that. I was excited about being there. If they do this once a year, the whole thing, I may do something different, and you know, I might come in for the first night and stay for the last night, stuff like that. But I can't criticize anything. We had a great time. There was a lot of people there that, that. We got to see we hadn't seen in a long time. I got to shake Dutch Mantel's hand, which I haven't seen him in probably about 6 years. And the first thing he said to me was, "You got that Shooting the Shiznit podcast going," which I thought was hilarious. We talked about that. Everybody was just super, super nice. There was no assholes, you know, to us. There was no mm-hmm. one rude to us at all. Joel Gertner, we stopped and talked to Joel. Joel's super nice. Told us we were what he said, we were names in the sheets from so many years. So mm-hmm. he had heard our names for so many years. I had talked to Blue Meanie, and me and Meanie's got a project coming up, which is going to be fun in November. Everybody was just and you know, Rosemary was nice. Oh, we also talked to we talked to Victoria. And I had been giving you hell the whole time to talk to. I said she won't remember you, mm-hmm. and then she remembered you, talked to you like you were her best friend, and then I did the old "you don't remember me," and it was MC. It was in MCW.
Seconds ever. With me, in my defense, I went to her restaurant when she had the squared circle in Chicago. I went to her restaurant a dozen times, and so it was very cool back then when she had the restaurant because she would actually come out and talk to the patrons of the restaurant. So that's how I knew her, and she was super friendly then. I brought her tea from my work, and so we had bonded through that. But the restaurant's been closed for like 2-3 years, so that's what Brian's talking about, and that she remembered, because yeah, it had been a couple years since she's been in Chicago since the restaurant shut down. Like you said, everybody was just super cool, super accommodating. It was great to put names on faces. I've known Bruce Mitchell for decades, but I've never actually met him in person. So it was very cool seeing Wade again, seeing Dave again after so many years. Was so cool, so much fun.
And Dave was hilarious because he waved at us, and then I said, Brian Trimble and Lance Levine, and he ran.
That's when his mouth dropped open. Yeah, because yeah. it had been like 30 years since we've seen him in person. So it had been so long.
He didn't know what the hell we look like now. All right, guys, remember, same bat time, same bat channel on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there. Love my mama.
I love pulled pork.
You know, I love my mama, even though when I said I was buying Chicago hot dogs, she said, they're going to probably make your stomach hurt. Thank you for joining us. Another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. That's right. Always, we're looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shizniter Ever. Reminder, we have merch.com, shirts at $12.99, and sizes up to 6XL. A big shout out to our sponsor, SpunkLube.com, for providing our shirts for All In and sponsoring the show this month. We do have Patreon. You can go to Shooting the Shiznit. We're looking for 10, that's right, 10 people to be Patreons, and then we'll start putting up some material up there. A big shout out and a thank you to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets, Gene Jackson at localstolegends.com, Sean Garmer at Wrestling to Max website, and also Wrestling News Center. You can reach me at ComicBookMarkBT on Twitter, at BT Shooting the Shiznit. Facebook, you'll find the Shooting the Shiznit page, and also the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. You can listen to all the archives at stspod.club, or we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, did I say Spreaker? Stitcher, and all the other podcast players. A shout out to Creative Control. That's right, Creative Control with JoJo. He's also on Keeping It 100, some of my favorite podcasts. And my buddy P3 Radio with Max. That's right. Two non-wrestling podcasts. That's Who's Right Podcast and Po' Boys Podcast. Check them out. Thank you. And good night. You'll be my eyes, then we could love.